Today on Real Radio.
And so when we think about Christ, the Christ of Christmas, we need to understand something. If we're going to know him at Christmas, the Bible says that Jesus is, in fact, Almighty God. And that is a radical thing.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues with a series called The Name. It's a four-part series based chiefly upon Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6 is among the most quoted passages this time of year. It's a prophecy recorded more than 700 years before the birth of the divine Messiah. It also includes a partial list of his attributes, as our teacher demonstrates in this presentation that focuses on one of them, Mighty God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
743 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." A tremendous amalgamation right then and there of the deity of Christ coming into the humanity of the world. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So tonight we're looking at that third point and that third part of this message, the name. And tonight we come to the Mighty God, that announcement that Isaiah made and that the New Testament confirms, the Mighty God, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, you know it well, but if you don't mind, we need to be reminded. Matthew 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they had come together," that's before they had come together in intercourse, "she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband," that is engaged or espoused husband, "being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." That is, in that part of the world, requires to break the engagement would require a letter of divorcement. Joseph said, "We're not going to go that route." Verse 20, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son," remember now Isaiah, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear or be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," that is, God is among us, which is translated. "Then Joseph," verse 24, "being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the Christ of Christmas is Almighty God. That is both a name and a title given throughout the scripture, Old Testament and New, but as we look to Isaiah, we understand this, that very announcement is equal to all of the other names that have been given to Christ. That the son born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the baby that would come from eternity into this world would be found in the town of Bethlehem. The Bible predicted his very coming into the world in the location. And as we look to Isaiah, that his name would be called Wonderful. That is an aspect of who he is. We remember that that word means a wonder or a miracle. So whoever the Messiah is, surrounding his very coming into the world, there would be a miraculous announcement about that. And then Counselor, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is filled with absolute practical counsel. And we learned in our last study that it's the wisdom of God. And tonight we learn about Mighty God. The word Mighty God here in Isaiah is El Gabor. in Hebrew. And what that means is all powerful. That whoever's going to be the baby born in Bethlehem and would come into the world, the son that would be given, would be all powerful. The word also means the mighty warrior. The Bible uses El Gabor as the chief, the champion, the strong one, the almighty. And so when we think about Christ, the Christ of Christmas, we need to understand something. If we're going to know him at Christmas, the Bible says that Jesus is, in fact, Almighty God. And that is a radical thing. And yet it's exactly what you and I want to know. That the Bible announces that God has a name. And our series is The Name, meaning the name of God. And you remember in our previous studies that the book of Isaiah announces that his name is Yah. That's why Jesus in the Hebrews, Yahshua, Yah, the God who saves, the one who's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The word means that he's never had a beginning and he'll never have an ending. You say, well, what about Jesus being born in Bethlehem? Is that not a beginning? It's a beginning in the sense of God relating to man like never before. That God would relate to us and expose himself to humanity in a human form. How great is your God? So great that God can take upon himself the form of a human being. And does that not make sense that we celebrate Christmas? And do we really understand and remember what we're celebrating? That we are announcing to the world as Christians that God has come into the world. That's what the Christmas story is all about. And we have a God who can relate to us. The same God that visited Adam and Eve face to face in the cool of the Garden of Eden is the same God that came down in that manger in Bethlehem. We note this, that he is the Christ of Christmas, Almighty God, this way. Only Almighty God can forgive us. Only God can forgive. You and I struggle at forgiveness. That's because you and I are fallen creatures and we need to be redeemed and we need to be forgiven. And God is the one who forgives. You know what's amazing about forgiveness? Now, you and I are so limited about our ability to forgive. Because here's our problem. When we forgive someone, the next struggle that you and I have is every time we either hear their name or see their face, we've got to forgive them again, don't we? It's a fact. We struggle with that. Here's the awesome thing about the God who forgives. When God forgives, the Bible says he forgets. You and I can't forget. Now, I'm over 50, so I'm forgetting a lot of things these days. But that's not the forgetfulness that we're talking about. God, listen, when you come to Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible says he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When you come to Christ, the Christ of Christmas, and experience his forgiveness, God forgets. He says, I will no longer remember your sins. That is an awesome truth. The Almighty God is the God, the Bible says, that has come down, and you may be resisting him tonight. Maybe you're listening in right now, and you're resisting against the biblical message of who Christ is. And I want to ask you, why are you kicking against the very thing that you need? Have you ever seen a child when they're in the high chair and they're very, very irritable? Maybe they're too tired. They're hungry, but they're just miserable. And you're trying to feed them, and you know they're hungry, but they don't want the food. Isn't that weird? It's like they're possessed or something. What's wrong with them? I don't want it. You know, they're crying and kicking, and they need the food. They want the food, but maybe they're either too tired, they've been up too long, or whatever's happened, and they've reached the point of being so irritable that they won't even ingest the very thing that's the best for them. At least that's what Lisa tells me when I'm like that. And you might say tonight, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I can't believe that God would come down in the form of a human and take upon himself a human suit. Why are you kicking against that? When it's exactly what you need. God didn't send a puppy. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send somebody else. God came himself. And I love the fact that when Moses left Egypt with the children of Israel, I both love what God did and I love what Moses requested. God says, I will lead you out of Egypt with my strong right hand. And as they go through the wilderness, Moses says, when God says, okay, it's time to pick up, let's go. And Moses says, we're not going any further unless you stay with us. Now, that's amazing, because here's Moses telling God what the deal is, you know. And you can almost hear him. I've got a deal for you. God, we go nowhere unless you go ahead of us. But Moses knew that the preciousness of having God with you personally. He said, I'm not going anywhere unless you go with us. And God says, I will go with you. He's the God that forgives. The Bible says in Psalm 103, written over 1,000 years before Jesus came into the world to forgive us of our sins. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, bless the Lord, that's Yahweh, Jehovah, we would say, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities. How many of them? All of them. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, Mark 2:1, the Bible says, and again, he, Jesus, entered Capernaum, the northern Galilee region, right on the sea, after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive him or receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. I love that. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic, someone who's paralyzed or lame, who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. This is an awesome moment. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes, that is the Israeli, the Jewish professional students of the word, were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And verse 7 says, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God only? I love the fact that Jesus' opponents watched what he did. Listen, Jesus' critics watched what he did and didn't deny what he was doing. They had a hard time coping with what he was doing. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And they're going to get into a big debate. You can read this later. And they said, hey, nobody can forgive sins but God. And Jesus says, listen, so that you might know that my Father has given me the authority to forgive sins on earth, I'll show you this. And he heals the man, proving to them that a word spoken, now a word spoken by you and I is hard to test. But when Jesus says, I forgive you, you're forgiven, and then turns and does a miracle, the miracle is not the big deal. Listen, you might say, well, Jack, speak for yourself. That paralytic went home dancing that day. Hey, I bet you that paralytic went home dancing that day, not because he got his legs back. I think he went home dancing because he knew he had a relationship now with God. He was washed clean. You can have all of your wonderful leg movement and arm movement. You can have all of the physical strengths that you, that the most healthy person in the world can possess. But if you are not at peace with God, it doesn't matter if you have legs, eyes, hands or not. You're miserable. And I think that man went away dancing because he knew that he was forgiven. And I want to ask you tonight, do you know for a fact that you're forgiven? It would be a terrible Christmas if you celebrated this time of the year and missed the entire meaning of his coming. In Psalm chapter 86, verse 5, the Bible says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Can you do that tonight? Can you think about that for a moment? Psalm 86, 5. He acts merciful abundantly to every one of us who will call upon him. Why? Because he's the God that who forgives. He's the God that erases. And I'm glad for that. It's hard for man to forgive, but God wants to forgive. This is an amazing thing. Tonight, you could be here, and in your own estimation, you can be the worst sinner in the room. And God says, you know what? I am ready now to forgive you. And here's the great thing theologically. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, based upon the sacrifice of God the Son, one presided, one empowered, and one sacrificed. In absolute agreement that when God hears your cry, theologically, God is bound to forgive you because of what Jesus has done. He does it for Jesus' sake. You cannot earn or muster up the worthiness to be forgiven by God. That's impossible. No, Christ and all of his sacrifice purchased for you and I forgiveness. And that's great news. In Luke 23, 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Do you know your Bibles? Do you know where he said that from? He said it from the cross. Imagine for a moment. Imagine yourself for a moment. You guys, I was driving the other night. Maybe I was listening to some Christian radio channel. I don't remember which one it was. And I heard it was Dr. David Jeremiah. And he was speaking about Helen Keller. Do you know who Helen Keller was? Unable to see and unable to hear. And you guys, I was driving listening to him talk about Helen Keller. Imagine that for a moment. She's deaf and she cannot see. She receives the gospel, accepts Christ, and if you read Helen Keller's writings, she was one of the most encouraging people in all of the world. How did she do that? And then she authors songs and poems. How did she do that? Absolute darkness, total silence. And I thought about that, and I'm not kidding. As I was driving and I was meditating on that, I experienced a little bit of a stress attack, is maybe too strong of a word. I began to feel claustrophobic in my car driving as I put myself in her shoes. And you think about that for a moment. To feel something so profound. Jesus is on the cross. The Bible says, Old and New Testament, that God is laying upon him the sins of us all. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 54, Psalm 22, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, that upon the Messiah are all of these sins of yours and mine and all humanity. Listen to this. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Those that are in front of him, mocking him, ridiculing him. And that, as it were, that priest on the cross, on his throne, as it were, says, Father, forgive them. He's interceding from the cross. What would you and I be doing if we were crucified by people who hated us and we were innocent of the charges? I would be saying, Father, fry every one of them. And you would too. You'd say, that's terrible. Don't give me that. You would be cursing from the cross. Only God sacrificed himself at the cross and then cries out in intercession, Father, forgive them. Based upon what? About Christ being at the cross. The baby born in Bethlehem was the Christ going to the cross. Only Almighty God can forgive sins. Secondly, only Almighty God can love us. Now look, you're lovable tonight. I saw you tonight coming in. I shook many hands, or gave a lot of knuckles, I should say. And you look beautiful tonight. And look, I'm even wearing a coat. You look great. And on a human plane, you're loved. But not compared to the love that God loves you with. The Bible says throughout Scripture that God loves you. The Bible even says God is love. What an amazing thing that is. Only Almighty God can love you and I. And when I say love, listen, church, it's the love that you and I really need. Not human love, not conditional love. I'll love you for as long as. When I'm doing a wedding service, I love to rub that in. I love to say, before they say I do, I love saying to them, and now, Susie, you stand here today ready to accept, you know, Billy, forsaking all others in the world. You give yourself solely to him. And you think about the magnitude of that. How many people? 6.5 billion people on the planet, and those two lovers are standing there right here at this altar. And she's saying, I'm forsaking all other men on the planet. And he's saying, I'm forsaking all other women on the planet. And I'm giving myself solely and fully unto you. Till death do us part. That's a commitment. And in our world today, it makes light of those things, makes fun of those things. But the Bible says that God is paying attention to the vows that we made to our spouse. It's a serious thing. That's the God of a covenant. His absolute love for us is amazing. Listen to this. Only Almighty God can say things like this. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord, there it is again, Yahweh, Jehovah. You guys all know by now in our series, it's not Jehovah. There's no J in Hebrew. It's Yahovah, where you get Yahweh, the Lord, the name of God. That is God's name. Remember that. His name is not God. God is his title. That's what God is who he is. His name is Yah. The Lord, Yah, has appeared of old to me. And he says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. That is an awesome truth. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made complete or perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Is that not true? Didn't God interrupt your life and communicate to you and I love you? And isn't it amazing how he has spoken somewhat differently, but yet somewhat the same to each and every one of us? For some of us, he had to put us in a headlock to get our attention. For some of you, it was just a broken heart, a broken life. Maybe for some of you, as the Bible says, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. There are some people who looked around at their life and said, man, I got everything in the world, but I'm empty. Amen. And they come to Christ. That's who he is. And Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay with him, walk with him, be with him, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Thirdly, we celebrate the Christ of Christmas as Almighty God because only Almighty God can save us. He forgives us. He loves us. Oh, yes. And the meaning of the Christ, the meaning of Jesus is that he would save us. Only Almighty God saves. Isaiah 43, verse 3 and 11 says, for I am Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. 743 years before Jesus was born, this scroll was in every synagogue in the world. And just 5 miles from Jerusalem, in the hill country of Bethlehem, is the focal point of an angelic announcement fulfilling scripture when they said, tonight, born in the city of David is Christ the Lord, your Savior. God says there's only one Savior. It's Yah, Yahovah God, Yeshua, Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, expounding upon one of the attributes of the divine Messiah, as was foretold in Isaiah 9:6. The name, that's the title of this 5-day series delivered by Pastor Jack and that we're bringing to you this week before Christmas, which means that we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this 4-part series, The Name, is a terrific study into the messianic claims, status, and attributes of the divine Messiah, which is why we're making it available to you. Visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And by the way, whether you call or click, you can find out about the few openings we have left on our upcoming Israel trip between March 21st and April the 2nd. So again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.